All right, let's see what Tom's got cooked up over there. Thursday touchdown.
All right, I thought you guys had a great conversation yesterday about the college football playoff and just all the dynamics of this new thing that we're still getting our heads around. So you talked about it yesterday, and the rankings came out in terms of automatic bids, seeding, conference championship games, and all that stuff, and how this all meshes together. If you could make one change to the college football playoff, what would it be and why?
I'll be consistent with what I said yesterday. I'd get rid of auto bids. The problem with that, and I understand it, is you devalue conference champions and that conference championship game. Now, teams will still need to win it if they hope to get a bid. I just don't like saying, you know, for these five conferences, you automatically get a seat at the table. And along with auto bids, I would take away auto seating. But that gives me two changes.
And that's okay. So Big 12, would you leave them out potentially this year?
Potentially.
If Colorado beats BYU,
I don't think Colorado would belong. And that's where you look at, if there's a two-loss team, let's just say Ohio State beats Oregon. All right, now you got one-loss teams. If you had a two-loss team playing against Oregon, Oregon loses. There's just too many variables in there. I just don't like auto bids, auto seeding.
So yeah, there's a lot of premature belly aching. I actually think the system is pretty good right now. But if you wanted one tweak, I would keep auto bids, but I would get rid of auto buys. In other words,
the auto seeding.
Yeah. So you're not guaranteed the 3 seed just because you win the ACC or the Big 12. Right. You may be the very last team in. I'll let you be in, but you got to play the toughest teams, the toughest route. Because I do think it gets squirrely, not just the first round, but even the second round with the bye weeks in the current system.
I think reseeding is going to happen minimally within a couple years. I it's just a foregone conclusion. Once this thing plays out 2 years, we'll have it within year three. All right, if Colorado wins out, they will make the college football playoff. If that happens, should the Buffaloes get a bye over Boise State, who currently holds that last bye?
So Colorado would have 2 losses and only 1 win against the current playoff top 25. Boise State would only have 1 loss. I would give it to Boise on merit. Now, if BYU or Arizona State win the Big 12, I think they leapfrog Boise State.
Yeah, I agree. If it's Colorado, Boise State should get the bye. You can say whatever you want about their schedule. When they played Oregon, who was a top 10 team at the time, ranked 7 at the time, they lost in a field goal in the final seconds of that game. I thought that, they can only play the schedule that's been given them, much like Indiana.
Ben Johnson is going to be highly sought after as a head coach after this season. If Johnson leaves the Lions, what's the best coaching fit for him?
When you start thinking about coaching fit, you got to think about ownership, general manager. You got to think all of it. And there's no perfect situation. These teams are bad, and a lot of times for a reason. In terms of personnel and roster, I would say Jacksonville is a flat-out home run. As long as they put a GM in place that is Brad Holmes-esque. But
one of those is out there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's always the gamble. But you've got Josh Hines Allen, you've got Trayvon Walker, you've got a good class of receivers. Some of them are banged up right now, but it's the fact that you have Trevor Lawrence, who a lot of people think is underperforming. Is it him or is it coaching? We've seen what Ben Johnson can do with Jared Goff. Could he do something similar with somebody that has more inherent skill?
So, yeah, I mean, listen, these all are flawed teams. I see the case for Jacksonville. I'd make the case for Chicago. Number one overall pick at quarterback, needs leadership and guidance offensively. He's on the rookie deal. Poles, the general manager, has done a decent job outfitting the roster around them. They need a coach. They need a leader. It could be Ben Johnson.
Do you think Caleb Williams ultimately could be better than Trevor Lawrence?
Could be. And I think that's part of the math there.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely I don't think so. Disagree 100% with you, Jim. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be a franchise quarterback. I don't.
We could say that about Trevor Lawrence right now, and you're saddled with his lousy contract. And you're saddled with his lousy contract, so God bless.
I think Caleb's so bad he might not get another contract, and Ben Johnson will be on the streets in 3 years.
Could be.
To me, look, I'm not defending Trevor Lawrence. He has not performed to expectations here, but the night and day difference between what he's done on a football field and what Caleb Williams has done is insanity. I just don't get Caleb Williams has completely screwed the Chicago Bears this year with his
performance. I think that's a little harsh to throw the rookie quarterback.
Oh, he's supposed to be a star and lead him to the Super Bowl, according to some people.
Hold on. And we acknowledge that was always ridiculous. So let's not cancel his career halfway through his rookie season.
I'm not going to cancel his career, but I see more potential still in Trevor Lawrence than I do in Caleb Williams.
I just think Caleb Williams can't shake what the things he did in college. That's it. You are who you are. All right, when it comes to individual awards, there's been a lot of talk about Jared Goff's MVP candidacy. We're getting little to no talk about Dan Campbell being the coach of the year. Who is more deserving of an award, Goff or Campbell?
To me, it's Dan Campbell. I mean, they're pacing to win 15 or more football games. That's the coach of the year to me. It's Dan Campbell.
I tend to agree. The only thing I think is going to be the competition. Sean McDermott, I think, is right now when you lose a large part of your roster. And you're probably talking about the same discussion with Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and it's Sean McDermott and Dan Campbell. But I think Dan Campbell, when you lose as many of your stud players, and mainly your number one defensive player, but they've lost, I mean, just think about it. Hutch, now Anzalone, J-Mo for a couple of games, the way he handled that situation, Barnes, Davenport, Jalen Reeves, Maven, Kaminsky. Like, they have been able to stay the course, and a lot of that has to be attributed to Dan Campbell's leadership.
Right. Now, if the Lions finish out this regular season and get to the Super Bowl, how do we get into a situation where Dan Campbell never wins Coach of the Year during this process?
Because you're saying the success will be held against them. It's expected at some point, and then he'll never get the credit.
He probably should have won it last year in hindsight.
Debatable. Yes, yes.
All right, we all agree that the Lions are the best team in the NFL right now. What team do you think matches up best against the Lions?
Honestly, it's probably the most surprising team for me. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's their defense. And I don't know. I think if Detroit gets into a shootout with any team, and it could be Buffalo, it could be Kansas City, it could be anybody, I think they match or are able to match touchdown for touchdown. It just depends on the defense, and I think the Steelers right now are playing the best defense.
John, I'm going to appeal to your sensibilities. The Lions have the best offensive line in football. The second best is probably the Eagles. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL. You could play keep away. The yardage allowed on defense, number one in the NFL right now. I think it's the Eagles.
You know, I like your Steelers answer because I just can see that the Steelers make you play a game flow and dictate tempo and all that stuff. They can run a little bit, but I would be interested to see, could the Lions run on the Steelers? Especially with 2 weeks of preparation, because we're talking Super Bowl if it's the Steelers.
Right, yeah, and they have found a little bit of, I'm not a big Russell Wilson fan, but they have found a little magic with him.
Yeah, all right. We have a powerhouse slate of games in Week 15. The two showcase games at 4:25 are the Lions hosting the Bills and the Eagles hosting the Steelers. Meanwhile, the Seahawks host the Packers on Sunday Night Football. If the NFL flexes its muscles, which game should they flex to Sunday night?
Well, I'm going to go with what Doug Karsh said yesterday. He predicted this. It will be Lions-Bills primetime Sunday night.
So I'm going to take a little liberty with this answer. I think two games get flexed. I think.
Oh, look at this. Love it.
I think the Lions and Bills get flexed to Sunday night. And this is the first year it's a possibility. I think Steelers-Eagles gets moved to Monday night. Now, this is going to be one that is rarely used, but I think it's flexed to Monday night. They have a 12-day window where they can flex this to Monday night, and they are going to take into account the fan base. If they wanted to put Lions and Bills on Monday night, that's a big shift for the Bills fan base to go from a Sunday game to a Monday game. Not as much for two teams in the same state, for Philly and Pittsburgh.
We got airplanes. I mean, I don't think that's that big a deal.
No, I'm talking about the fan base.
Taking trains, Tony?
No, you're talking about, okay, instead of...
Well, Pennsylvania, they can use the Amish horses, right?
Right.
John, we're just messing.
Yeah.
Seriously. Even Greg's giving a look.
Well, it's the drive-to game. If you had... Greg, if you're coming into town for the Bills...
The drive from Buffalo to Detroit, I would imagine, is shorter than Pennsylvania to Phil or Pittsburgh to Philadelphia or vice versa.
I'll have to do the math on that one. You have experience in Buffalo. I'm not going to debate that one.
I think maybe Buffalo's slightly longer drive because of the lakes.
Yeah.
I've done the drive to Philly through Pittsburgh, you know.
I've got it.
Oh, gosh.
Breaking news. 5-hour drive from Philly to Pittsburgh. 4 hours and 8 minutes a drive from Detroit to Buffalo.
Huh. Greg, is Greg ever wrong when it
Never
comes to
wrong.
Facts?
No.
Factually, I don't think he makes a mistake.
Yeah. He has family in Buffalo, so he's done that one.
Family. The Cowboys are 3-7, have not won a home game this season. They'll likely move on from Mike McCarthy, who is in his final year of his contract, so he's in limbo. What are the chances that Coach Prime coaches the Cowboys next season?
Slim to none. I think if he's offered, he probably takes it. I don't know if Jerry Jones does that, but I also don't know what happens in the draft. If he wants to coach Shadur in the NFL, who gets the number one overall pick? Because they could be picking in the top five. But with, 9 teams with either 2 wins or 3 wins, I mean, they could still be down 9, 10, even 11.
Former Cowboy, Jerry Jones loves star players. Here's what Michael Irvin had to say with Colin Cowherd.
The question is going to be, the timing. Coaches are hired before the draft happens.
Sounds like some orchestrating may be happening behind the scenes already. I'll give it more than a slim chance. That is the Thursday Touchdown. Always a sideshow in Dallas. It's 97.1.